everybody. You are listening to Limited Playtime, the board game podcast where we bring you board game reviews in 30 minutes or less.
Or the next episode is free.
I'm Kyle Bolin.
And I'm Jason Cavallari.
And today we are talking about Dice Throne.
Yes.
The page I have pulled up on the Board Game Geek is specifically Dice Throne : Season 2 - Battle Chest. But Jason and I have actually played some bits of both Dice Throne Season 1 and Season 2, so we're just going to be talking about Dice Throne in general. Specifically, though, the Dice Throne Season 2 or Dice Throne Season 1 Remastered or whatever they call it, because they did change some of the components since the game originally came out several years ago, and it's a much flashier package now from what I understand.
Mm.
Yeah. So how do you like dice, Jason? Are dice cool?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy dice. They're fine.
Who doesn't like dice in this hobby, right?
I know. I mean, there are whole bins full of them at Gen Con.
Yeah.
Designer sets, even.
There is, and a major part of Dice Throne revolves around, you guessed it, dice.
But not just any dice.
No. There's specific dice for each character within the game. Because this is basically a character-based game. Dice Throne is a sort of like a one-on-one battling game, although it is described also as a 2-to-6 player game because you can do 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, or 2 versus 2 versus 2, or a free-for-all. Ooh. All of those rules are in the instructions, and there's, you know, like ways to basically jury-rig all these different you know, transfigurations of playing against each other and everything. But out of the box, the game is a competitive game where each player embodies a character such as Gunslinger or Artificer or Huntress or Vampire Lord. And each character starts out with 50 life. They start out with 2 CP, which are like combat points or something. It's basically a currency you spend for playing cards within the game. You start out with 4 cards, and then everybody has 5 dice that are specific to their specific person, their specific character. And the game is essentially played like Yahtzee, where you throw the 5 dice, and each face has like certain symbols that you're trying to match up against like abilities on an ability card that you've got. And then that does a certain amount of damage or buffs or debuffs or other sorts of effects. And you're essentially just trying to whittle your opponents down to 0 health from 50. That's basically the game, aside from saying that, like, you know, there's cards within the game too that you draw, and you use the CP to play the cards. Sometimes they have like a one-time effect. Sometimes they like upgrade one of your special abilities to a higher level ability that has more damage or more utility, or, you know, like, you know, maybe it's just more efficient in terms of, like, you know, like the amount of like damage you get out of it or something. And then, you know, like, I feel like the character of this game really kind of comes down to those specific characters that you play.
Yeah, and that's worth mentioning because I think the characters themselves are kind of really where the fun of the game is. Because, I mean, Yahtzee's okay. It's something I play with my family and stuff, but, like, it's not, you know, it's not terribly thought-provoking.
It's not going to get somebody that's, you know, been in this hobby all
yeah.
this, like, jumping up and down and with excitement about playing it or anything like that, right?
Right, yeah. But when you mix the sort of Yahtzee element with the specific flavor and abilities of each of the different characters, then it gets interesting. It can also get frustrating. But you know, the ways that the dice can interact with that particular mechanic, the Yahtzee mechanic, I think lends a lot of the kind of interest and replayability to the game.
It's, I haven't played Yahtzee since I was a kid, like actual Yahtzee, right? But I've played like so many games that use the Yahtzee mechanic of throw 5 dice. You can set aside any number of dice and re-roll any number of dice, and then you can do that one more time, right? That's essentially what we mean when we say playing Yahtzee.
Plus the combos, like make a full house or like a large straight or whatever, you know, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. And it does that, right? It's like, you know, there's an ability on everybody's card that is like, you know, a large straight, meaning like, you know, like 5 sequential numbers, or a small straight, meaning 4 sequential numbers, or, you know, like 3, 4, or 5 of a kind with your most common symbol is like sort of like your most basic attack. And then like there's going to be like I think, like, one or two symbols on everybody's die that is only on one face of the die. And if you can, like, match up five of those, then you've got your ultimate ability, right? Which can't be defended against and, you know, like, does an amazing amount of damage and an amazing amount of, like, buffs and debuffs and all this stuff, right? And so that, you know, like, the full house or whatever might be equivalent to that or something, right? I mean, like, the, you know, there's rarity to the number of times that you're going to see many of these dice rolls, right? You know, like within the game and everything, or at least like the hand that you roll or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's like predictably the big damage dealing abilities are the ones that are hardest to get because they're like a Yahtzee of a specific symbol or a large straight of the values of the things, you know, those things are, they're the high ticket items in Yahtzee and they're the high ticket items in Dice Throne.
Yeah. And unlike an actual Yahtzee game, in this game there's a little bit of luck mitigation with a card play.
A little bit.
Yeah. Like some of the cards will say, like, you know, you can, like, you know, tip the dice over and change it to another face, or I guess it actually says, like, change the value, and we were confused about that during the game because that makes it sound like you're just changing the number. But in fact, after reading up on some errata on the internet, that means, you know, changing the face of the dice. So that allows you to basically, like, you know, change the actual results of the dice so that it matches something on your card, your player board, I guess. So that's actually useful rather than, you know, just always being junk or whatever.
Right, but that's provided that you have the ability to play the card. So like you mentioned earlier, having a good supply of CP or combat points is essential to playing a lot of the cards. And if for some reason you can't get enough CP, you might be out of luck when it comes to the cards.
But they also have a system in place to make sure that you can get the CP because you can discard cards for CP.
That's true. You can. And a lot, you know, I made fairly use of that with the second character I played because a lot of the cards I didn't feel were particularly useful at the time that I had them in my hand. So, you know, I get rid of them or whatever else. But the previous character I had played wasn't at a loss for CP at all, but I actually had an overabundance of them that I couldn't possibly use.
Yeah.
There was kind of a weird, you know, disparity there.
You had unlucky rolls during that game, and we didn't realize that the cards could be played in the way that would have mitigated that, you know? So I think that would have affected how you felt about that particular character. But, you know, I mentioned the CP thing and being able to discard the cards just to kind of, like, just to kind of hammer home the fact that even though this is a dice game, you know, there is a good deal of luck mitigation within the game, you know, so that it doesn't always feel as frustrating as it would if it was just Yahtzee, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important because I feel like when you've got the resources in hand necessary to make nothing into something, that feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not Yahtzee, where you know, if you completely whiff on a roll or whatever, like, you can't do a whole lot with it. Sometimes that will happen in this game. Like, there was one turn where, like, I couldn't do anything, so it was just kind of a big waste. But for the most part, like, you can usually make something happen.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jason, how did you like this game?
You know, for what it is, I enjoyed it. It's a fairly fast playing game. It's easy to pick up and learn, especially if you're familiar with Yahtzee. And the mechanics are interesting enough. And the particular characters are interesting enough, you know, to keep me invested in playing a full game of it. I don't know how much fun I'd have in sort of long-term repeated plays of it. But, you know, I'd played enough to, like, try out each of the characters once or twice.
Yeah, so I've been playing this game for a couple of months now, and I've got all of Season 2 and half of Season 1, basically. And I'm at that place right now where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to try this other character out. I want to see, you know, like, how they make this mechanically feel different than, you know, like, how they make the Huntress mechanically feel different than the Gunslinger or the Samurai or whatever, right? Like, mm-hmm. like they do just enough with these mechanics to make each of these characters feel kind of special, right? And I think that that's hard to do when all you've got is, like, you know, a five dice and, you know, like, they have to get creative with the number, like, well, with the effects that the buffs and the debuffs do, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, how defensive or offensive a character might be, Some characters have basically like little minions and stuff. Like I think that the Artificer and the Huntress each have minions. Like the Huntress has like a tiger that joins her and everything. And the Artificer has like little robots that help him out, I believe. But you know, I played a game of Vampire Lord versus Seraph yesterday, and you know, the Vampire Lord has the ability to steal health, right? And to like sort of like, you know, hypnotize the other player and basically like, you know, kind of force them to reroll dice, things like that. Whereas the Seraph was just incredibly defensive. Like she had like, you know, chances to just avoid all damage by flying away, and she could put debuffs on you that made it so that, you know, like, you couldn't get your attacks out, things like that. Ultimately, like, some of the characters start to feel a little too similar to each other, because I think there's only so much you can do with the mechanics in play. The cards help a lot with that, because obviously you can get a little crazier with card mechanics than you can with just dice mechanics. But ultimately, the characters feel different enough, and I think that the other thing is, like, the symbols on the dice, but most importantly, like, the artwork on the character boards and the cards make them very fun to interact with. Like, I'm always very excited to see what's in the deck of each one of these characters, and then to also see, you know, how do they play? Like, you know, what are the sort of synergies between their attacks and their buffs and debuffs and all that? Because that seems to be what really makes these characters, you know, like, feel unique compared to all the rest and everything. So it's got me there, you know, where I want to explore all that.
Haven't had as much experience with the game as you have, so I've only played two characters, but they were very, very different. You know, the first one I tried to play a little more offensively than probably I should have, because I kind of realized too late that it was a bit more of a like hit and run kind of character. Whereas the second character I played was much more like in your face kind of offensive kind of thing. So they were very different play styles, and that really kept me interested. The thing that kind of bothered me a little bit about it was that the special abilities of the two characters I played seemed very different in their difficulty to achieve. So, for example, the first character I played was a Shadow Thief. And her big thing was slipping in and out of the shadows, which allows her to sort of avoid damage and stuff. The problem is that in order to do that, you have to roll a number of characters on the die that are the one that's the least present on the die. There's only one face of the die that has that character. So I ended up hardly ever accomplishing that feat, so I couldn't really do the thing that she was supposed to do, mostly just because of my dice rolling. The second character was much simpler to play in that way, because it seemed like every time I rolled, I could at least get, you know, some kind of damage on, where, you know, that didn't really happen with the previous character. So I think I enjoyed them both, but the first one frustrated me a little bit more, probably because I didn't know how to play it. But
it would be interesting to go back and play that and know that you can use some of those cards. And you don't always have the cards in hand, I know, but like, you know, like to sometimes use those cards to be able to mitigate that a little bit, so that you maybe like get to slip into the shadows one or two more times per game or something like that, you know?
Right.
Like
that
might make it feel that much different, just to know like, oh, you tried to hit me for 15, but I avoided the whole thing. Ha ha ha. You know, those sorts of moments can make a game feel way more exciting. You know, like that time that you actually get to use your ultimate, if that had ever happened, that would have made the game feel really awesome for you, right? And we never got to that point where we realized how to do that, really, with the rules as written. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense. But, you know, I think if we went back and did that, I think that there would be more moments like that where you'd be like, okay, that was really cool, you know?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if I knowing now what I know now about that particular character, I probably would have a better time with it.
Yeah, I think the other cool thing about this game is, like Jason said, it's easy to teach. I played it with my 5-year-old. You know, I had to read some of the abilities to him, but like aside from that, like he was just like, yeah, I get it. You know, roll the dice. Okay, I can match this thing. Cool. All right, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do all this damage to you, Dad. And so, you know, we had a decent time playing it, and I feel like there's enough decision-making here, too, with, like, whether or not to, you know, like, throw cards away for CP, to play cards at a certain time, to hold cards back, you know, like, and choosing whether or not to go for that risky ability by re-rolling some dice when you might have a more, like, conservative ability in hand. I feel like there's enough decision-making there to make it interesting and very fun for someone like us, who, you know, is older and is used to playing crunchier games as well. So,
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like it's one of these games that is on, like, the slightly heavier side of casual, you know, but it's still casual enough that anybody could probably jump in and enjoy it. It's got really fun artwork, really fun presentation. It comes in, like, those nice game trays that are made specifically for the game. So, you know, like, you don't, there's no, like, futzing around with, like, setup and all that. Like, it sets up super quick, tears down super quick. It's a fun time. It only takes, like, 30 or 40 minutes to play a full game. I feel like this is the sort of thing that, like, you know, I could throw it out with just about anybody when we've just got, like, you know, 45 minutes to kill. And, you know, it'd be a really fun thing to, like, have at Gen Con, for instance, you know, like when
oh,
we're
yeah,
just,
totally.
Like, you know, like killing time in the hallway before, like, you know, the show floor opens up, or, you know, like
right, yeah.
anytime you've got, like, just some time to kill, like, it'd be a fun game to throw down and play. And like I said, you could teach it to just about anybody. So it'd be
well,
a
we could just play Yahtzee.
You could just play Yahtzee. Yeah, I guess. Although I'd rather pretend that I'm, like, sucking your blood and then you're, like, you know, pulling a revolver on me and firing, you know, like, fanning the hammer in my face or whatever.
Oh, here's the thing that kind of annoyed me a little bit is that, like, so in a standard Yahtzee game, you just have to get, like, five of a kind, right? And it's worth 50 points. Trust me, I've played a lot of Yahtzee with my family, so I know this backwards and forwards. Uh-huh. But in Dice Throne, like, you can get any old Yahtzee, and it's, you know, it's fine. Like, it's probably, like, a decent damage-dealing ability or something. But to get your ultimate, you have to get, like, a Yahtzee made completely of sixes.
Yeah.
Specifically. Like, yeah. That one combo will get your ultimate ability.
Right. Well, that's because, like, I think, like, two or three faces of the die are all identical. So it's way easier to get, like, you know, like, five of a kind with those.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but, like, the thing is, like, in an actual game of Yahtzee, I would have been thrilled to get, like, five ones. Mm-hmm. But in this game, I was like, yeah, Yahtzee! And, oh, well, that's kind of exciting. But
right,
really.
But I mean, like, the odds are different, right? I mean, like, the
yeah,
odds
no,
are
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so. but, I mean, like, still.
So, the thing I wanted to ask you about is, I was thinking about this after we played, is that I've only played this game on Tabletop Simulator, so I have no idea what the components are actually like.
They're nice. Like I said, they come in game trays. They come in, like, a nice thick box. The box has, like, segments for each of the game trays. So, like, you've got, like, you open the box up and it's, like, this very, like, super nice, like presentation of each particular character. Has their own little, like, you know, like, file that they go into sideways. With, like, artwork along the side and everything, so you can see who you're looking at. And then you pull it out and you pop open the lid and, like, you pull out your character and unfold them. It's like a trifold board, basically, that has all of the character's abilities, like, kind of like you saw on Tabletop Simulator, right? It looks just like that. Where it's got, like, you know, two abilities in a column and there's, like, four or five columns across the board, you know. And it's real thick, nice cardboard. The cards are, you know, like they're not the thickest card stock, but they're also not the thinnest. They're nice. They're nice enough, right? They feel good. And then the dice are, so if you get, like, the special, like, collector's box or whatever they call it, the battle chest. If you get the battle chest, it comes with, like, these, like, collector version of the dice, which means that they're kind of marbled. Like, they've got sort of, like, you know, like, a mix of colors in them and everything. And then if you get, like, the more basic version that goes to retail, they're just regular solid color. But I mean, I've got some of both, and, like, it's all fine, right? Like, they're dice.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Like, they're not as nice as, like, say, like, the Too Many Bones dice that have, like, the crazy printing on them, like the heat transferred printing and all that. They're just regular dice in terms of, like, the manufacturing. But, you know, they have, like, you know, bespoke symbols on them and everything. So, you know, they're nice. But yeah, I mean, like, the presentation of the whole thing, the packaging of the whole thing, the way that it sets up and tears down is all done really, really well. Really impressive. And fun to interact with. I mean, and obviously throwing dice with your hands is always way more fun than using Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
right click, so, I mean, roll.
Yeah, I mean, so that you know, like, I bet that you would be, like, at least, like, 50% more positive on this if we had played this in person with the physical components, and also we had played with all the right rules.
Yeah, that probably would have helped.
Yeah, yeah. But for what it is, I think it's really cool. I think it's a really fun game. You can go out and get like a 2-pack of characters for, I think, $25, which brings it like kind of right in line with the pricing structure for Unmatched, which is the game that I kind of closely compare it to in my brain, because they're both sort of like, you know, like one-on-one battlers. The big difference is Unmatched uses minis on a board and just cards, whereas this one has no board presence. It's just like, you know, like this sort of like two characters in the ether fighting with dice and cards. But, you know, just the general feeling of like trying to whittle your opponent down to zero health and having this like character that is like, you know, very specific and works with its own mechanics and in its own synergies and all that. It really did remind me of that. And the pricing is similar there, where I think you can go get a 2-pack, you know, like a 2-character pack for Unmatched for $25, I'm pretty sure. So at least they're similarly priced now. You know, the Unmatched games like sell for like $40 or $50 for like 4 characters, whereas with this one you pay like 75 for 8. But that's still pretty close, you know, pretty similar in terms of pricing and way to break it down per character. But you know, I think it's interesting that both of these games exist in the market right now, because I would love to play either one of them, honestly, at any time. You know, between the two, I still think Unmatched is probably just a little bit better game. There's just like a little bit more nuance to what you do, and I feel like they do a little bit more with the card play and how characters interact with the board and other characters and everything to sort of evoke the character that they're trying to do. But for what Dice Throne is, I feel like it's maybe a little easier to just sit down and play with anybody, and I feel like it does all of what it's trying to do well enough, and I enjoy it. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, cool.
Yay.
Anything else you want to say about Dice Throne, Jason?
No, except I keep trying to think of a clever way to make the title fit into like a Game of Thrones reference, and I really can't.
Is there something about sitting on the throne and something that you can make it into dice instead of swords? Don't poke your butt with the side of that die corner like you did with the Game of Thrones sword chair. That's what you wanted to say, isn't it?
Yeah, that was completely... you have such a way with words.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. If people would like to get a hold of us and let us know the best way to make a Dice of Thrones / Game of Thrones pun, how would they do so, Jason?
Okay, so to illustrate that you're way cleverer than Kyle and myself, you can email us. It's podcast@limitedplaytime.com. You can go to the website, limitedplaytime.com. You can tweet us at limitedplaytime or go to Instagram at limitedplaytimepodcast.
We have to do this off the cuff. It's not always going to be a home run, you know?
I know.
Yeah. So we've been recording we've recorded twice since we've been back, basically. But we did keep up within 2 weeks of each other. Yeah. So I think that we're going to try to record again in 2 weeks. Jason, do you have a game that you want to try to record about?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, considering that it's still the COVID times.
Yeah, it is. You know, but there's, you know, there's games out there that we've played. There's games that we can play online. So is there anything, has there been anything that you've been wanting to talk about that we haven't played yet?
Oh, what about that game that we played a while ago and I wanted to play a second one for my birthday, but we couldn't because there were too many people?
Nemesis.
What was that called? Nemesis. Yeah, I'd like to do that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, we'll talk about Nemesis. That's a game that I own and we've played on Tabletop Simulator at least once. And yeah, we should play it again and then we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Nemesis, which is not an official Alien game, but it's totally an Alien game. You guys will love it. It's great.
That should be the tagline. Like, Nemesis, not an official Alien game.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in about 2 weeks.
Later.
All right. Bye.